Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What does it take to survive war, rebuild after devastating loss, and ultimately find purpose through faith? On this episode of This Week in America, author Christopher Beaton discusses his powerful autobiography, Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement, The Life and Times of Christopher Beaton. Born in what was then Southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, he grew up during a time of political unrest and civil conflict. His remarkable life story includes military service during the Rhodesian Bush War, years spent in the Unification Church, the challenges of entrepreneurship, immigration to the United Kingdom, profound personal loss, and a renewed Christian faith that transformed his life. More than a memoir, Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement is an honest account of resilience, perseverance, and personal growth. Christopher reflects on how adversity became a teacher rather than a destination, and how life's greatest struggles helped shape his understanding of purpose, faith, and emotional resilience. Christopher Beaton shares his remarkable life story on today's This Week in America, and he comes to us from the United Kingdom. Christopher, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Lovely to be with you. Thank you.
There is so much in the book, Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement. And as you're reading it, you're going through sort of taking a look back at your life, at our life, and reflecting and thinking through things as you have done in this presentation. Tell us about the book and what inspired you to write this very personal life story.
Well, two of my children for several years kept badgering me, encouraging me, "Dad, you got to write a book. Dad, you got to write a book." And after some time, I said, "Why, guys, why do you want me to write a book?" And they said to me, "Whenever we meet new friends and they hear that you, mom and dad, were in international marriage, and they want to know why, how did he get involved in a 6,000 international mass wedding in the Unification Church?" And they said, "Dad, we're tired of telling the story. Please write the book and we can ask them to buy it." So that's why I wrote the book.
Well, it sounds like a win-win for everybody. That satisfies their curiosity and a few bucks in the coffers as well. So there's so much here, and you can break each category down and go through Christopher's life and his reflections. The title, you mentioned adversity a lot. It's something you address. What were some of the adversities that you went through in your life? Because you've really seen your share of adversity throughout it.
I think the most profound adversity was when I was 27 years old, at the peak of my commitment to the Moonies and the Unification Church, and I developed testicular cancer. I was too proud to go to the doctors, and when I did, it was so late, they removed a testicle, but they said it has spread everywhere, and we give you at most 10 days to live.
Wow.
At that time, a hospital chaplain, I went to a Catholic church, who used to be one of the priests, he came to me and he said, "Mr. Beaton, I believe Jesus can heal you. Will you let me pray for you?" He did, and then I had the most amazing encounter, because I saw Yeshua there, and he threw what was like a beach ball of fire that hit me in the head, came out my feet, and my body jumped up and down. He looked at me, and he told the oncologist, "This man doesn't have cancer anymore." They said, "Rubbish." He said, the church will pay for the CAT scans, and 5 CAT scans later, they released me, and said, "Yeah, you're free, but you will never have any children." I went on to father 3 children. But at the time of that diagnosis, I was totally stunned. Yet, Yeshua, I was at the peak of my enmity to him in believing in a false Messiah, yet he was true to his word. Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine going through that and how you would recover and all of the emotions going through that. It's something that's life shaping, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, from that day, even though I was still in the Moonies, you know, because he healed me, I thought, the Unification Church, it must be right. Otherwise, why would he heal me? And it was many, many years later, through my wonderful wife, who is now with the Lord, that we realized, hey, it's time for us to leave.
That's interesting. So at that point you left. You were there for what, 20 years? What impact did it have on you during that 20-year period? We hear all of these horror stories about what people go through. What was it like during that 20-year period?
Well, initially, once the Civil War had finished and we were sent back home, I was an extremely traumatized person. Yeah, I had emotional pain 24/7. And my sister invited me to one of the Muni teachings. And actually, the Muni leader there, he saw my condition and he said to me, "Chris, you can just come and stay here. Well, you have a feed, you have a bed, we'll feed and take care of you, and you just get well." So they gave me a full year, and after that, I then started to volunteer and get involved in the movement from there going forward. And so my entrance was not bad, but it's after that that so many things happened, yet through it all, the Lord Yeshua Jesus is faithful.
The book by our guest on the program, Christopher Beaton, and that's Beaton. The name
that's
of the,
correct.
The name of the book is Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement. Book available wherever books are sold. Christopher's website is christopherbeatonbooks.co.uk, and you can link onto that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Why do you think adversity plays such an important role in shaping a person's life? Because it certainly did for you. Why do you think that is?
Well, I went through so much adversity. I eventually had to embrace adversity and see it as a friend, a teacher, rather than an undertaker. And as I began to embrace the adversity, it took me into a different place, what I call the workshop of transformation. And I began to learn lessons in the adversity, which actually then took me on to in a journey of great adventure of learning, and from there achievement in that I kept mentally sane and at peace. Mm-hmm.
So that really got you through some difficult periods. I talk about how you were able to do that, because as I mentioned in the beginning, you consider adversity a teacher rather than a destination. So many people feel like this is it. This is the end point. Now it's this is where I'm going to be. How did you come to the conclusion that, you know, if I could listen, if I could harness this?
For me, during the Civil War, I saw so much death, so much. I said, hey, I have two choices here. One, I can just die. Or two, I can learn from this adversity. I can learn lessons that can actually prepare me, make me a better person. Yeah, it's almost like when a welder arc welds two pieces of metal together. You know, there's great burning there. But actually, as in those times, as I turned to pray to God, you know, he heard my prayers.
Talk about growing up. I mentioned being there in Southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. You went through a lot of turmoil. You saw a lot of things that would be traumatic for most people, yet you were able to get through that, to survive and to thrive after you left that environment. What was that like growing up for you?
Well, I was sent to a Roman Catholic school by my parents, and sadly, our home life was not the best. It was a lot of conflict there. So I wasn't highly motivated. So at school, I would, for many years, would come last in class. And so it was a public school, and they decided, okay, what we're going to do to try and motivate this guy is every week on a Friday, we will give him six beatings with a cane, until his grades improve. And they did that over a 2-year period. But I remember the most amazing time is I was bent over the chair with my hands tied, and the Catholic priest was beating me. And in my heart, I said, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I offer my beatings to you. And at that time was the first time I encountered his presence, and I didn't feel the pain of the beatings. And also, he had a great sense of humor. He said to me, the next time you come on Friday, put 10 pairs of underpants on.
Just one of the stories that you will find in Christopher's book. It's been such an amazing life. Who did you write this book for? You mentioned for your children, because when their friends were asking, there was a book for them. But just reading reviews, it's a life-changing read for so many people that see what you went through. Just take one of these incidents and isolate it, and would be the end for most. You've got so many that you've gone through. What do you hope the message is from the book, and who did you write this for?
First of all, I wrote it for my two children, as they asked. But it's amazing, as it went around and people started reading it, they came back to me asking me questions. They said, how did you deal with the emotion? How did you deal with the anger, the bitterness, the pain, and the loss? And then I started putting pen to paper, and I wrote my second book, which is called What Are My Emotions Asking of Me? And that book took me 2 years, but the content was 33 years of learning how to not react to my emotions, but to say, hey, you're not my master, you're not my authority, but what are you asking of me? And then asking the Lord, help me, what is this emotion asking me? How can I respond to this emotion? You know, because in that scripture, it says, come to me, all you who are laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And it's that point in my own personal walk of faith that more and more I wanted to learn from Jesus Yeshua, because the adversity he went through was many, many, many more times than what I went through. And so in the end, Yeshua Jesus became my coach.
It's interesting. Was there a particular turning point? And I think you might have been alluding to that in the last question. A turning point where everything began to change. In the latter part of your book, you talk a lot about that, finding faith and redemption. Is that when, was that the major turning point in your life?
I think the major turning point in life is when my wife, she came to me and said, honey, we've learned for 17 years how not to do it, and we need to leave the country. So we fled from the UK and from Zimbabwe. We came to the UK, and then I said to my wife, listen, honey, we've spent 17 years learning how not to do it, but what is our children's future if we can't find God? So then I went from church to church looking for a God encounter, which I had at a church called Life Church in the United Kingdom. It was Robert Leiden was preaching, and at that time the presence of the Lord came on me so powerfully, I just started to weep, and I said, thank you, Papa, I'm home. But the next 5 years after that were most difficult, because you don't take a pickle onion out the pickle and it's unpickled. It took me 5 years to renew my mind and come think. But that was the major turning for me. That time where actually the Lord met me. At the time when we left Zimbabwe, I had left 30 million in assets behind. And I'd arrived in the UK with my wife, three children, and 60 pounds. And that's all we had. That's all we had. But it was that Saturday evening under Robert Slesen. I don't know what he preached, because the presence of the Lord was on me. And I just wept tears after tears after tears. So that was, I think, a major key turning point for me. Not only for me, but for my wife and our family.
Christopher's book is Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement, The Life and Times of Christopher Beaton. That's Beaton. His website is christopherbeatonbooks.co.uk. So many ups and downs in life, and you talk about the success as an entrepreneur. There were failures as an entrepreneur as well. How do you balance that? How do you get over going through difficult times and starting something and not having it be successful?
Well, first of all, I had to shift my focus. So even I were as a Muni, I used to pray, you know, and I would pray and fast for these times. And now there was a situation where we had to buy a farm, and we couldn't back out of it. And so we had to pay $180,000 up front. And we had a business that was only doing $2,000 a month. And that was great pressure and adversity. So I would disappear and pray and fast and cry out, you know, we're going to lose this. But, you know, Lord, you can help. You can save this. And he did. He gave me a huge business deal that broke through, and we were able to save the farm. But also at that time, you know, being a Muni, I didn't have the integrity that we have when we become a believer in Yeshua. And there were many dishonest practices that led me, because of being dishonest, to losing millions at the same time. And so it was in those losses that I began to see the importance of humility. Because in the scriptures, God resists the pride, but he gives grace to the humble. And it was in those times, learning the importance of humility, that brought me through. Because that humility brought me to the spirit of grace. And we went from there.
Lessons for all of us to learn in Christopher's book. The book is Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement, available wherever books are sold. What did adversity teach you that success never could? I get the impression that adversity really was a teacher for you.
Yes. Adversity for me in many ways was very painful, and so it got my attention. And it was then, in those days when I used to bring my pain to the Lord, and amazing, even though I was in the Moonies, he responded to that pain. He took that pain. He took that difficulty away. And that was so profound for me. It was very easy to be happy with the success. But with the pain of adversity, gosh, yeah, it really was an instrument the Lord used. And I can say in the workshop of transformation, transforming me into his own image and likeness.
Many people who are watching and listening to our conversation right now are going through adversity as you went through, and they're probably looking to you, maybe words of wisdom, something that you could say to give them hope, because for many people, it's just an era of hopelessness that they're living in. What would you say now to people that are going through adversity? What encouragement would you give them?
I'd say, don't let adversity be your undertaker. Let it become a teacher and a great friend. If you have that response to the adversity, it will bring you into journeys of adventure you never dreamed about, and it will bring achievements that you were beyond your imagination. You know, so it's not being afraid of the pain; it's embracing the pain and allowing the pain to be a springboard going forward, which not necessarily easy, but actually when there's no choice, then it is amazing.
What did writing this book do to you? How did it impact you personally as you were going back and going through all of these stories and putting them down on paper and really reflecting about what your attitude was, what was happening to you and to your family during much of this? What impact did it have on you?
Me, when I started writing the book, it took me 6 years. Why? Because as I wrote the book and was putting my memories down, when I came to remember situations and circumstances that I hadn't dealt with, I had to come before the Lord and deal with them before I could move on. So writing the book also, the Lord used as an amazing part of being transformed and being healed. Yeah, I had many things that I had just tucked away, but I couldn't now. When I was writing the book and they came there, I couldn't go any further until I came before the Lord and asked, yeah, Lord, I need to forgive here. I need you, please, to bring healing to me. And so it took me 6 years to write the book. and amazing transformation happened. Yeah, I'm a different person. People who saw me before I wrote the book and now, they say we physically we see the same person, but spiritually you're totally different.
You know, we can sense that. I didn't know you before, but I can sense this calmness, this peacefulness that you have as we're talking about the book. The book is Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement, The Life and Times of Christopher Beaton. That's Beatton, if you're searching his website, christopherbeatonbooks.co.uk. You can click on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We talked about adversity. We talked about adventure. Let's talk about achievement. What does it mean to you now as opposed to early in your career, in your life when you were getting started? What is achievement to you at this point?
Achievement at this point is becoming the person that God has created me to become. That's the greatest achievement.
How long does it take you to get to that point?
Well, how long is a piece of string? You know, in my second book, I said to the people, it took me two years to write this, but it's the result of 33 years of learning. So day by day, week by week, month by month, you know, learning from the Lord how to respond and allowing Him to create in us a new heart and give us a new vision for life. So for me, my relationship with the Lord is, and what He has given me is the greatest achievement I have.
You've experienced incredible hardship, as we've talked about. What's one thing you know today that you wish you knew as your younger self? You've got such wisdom today. What do you wish that you would have known 30, 40, 50 years ago?
I wish I would have known the Lord Jesus as I know Him today. That's, I really do, because, you know, from that time when I was 8 years old, if I had responded differently, he even though He walked with me, I would be a different person. Yeah, it's amazing how he met me at the time for an eight-year-old being beaten, six cuts every Friday for 2 years. Yeah, that it's if I had responded better to the Lord at that time, I don't think I would have gone through what I have.
You mentioned, and just about out of time, but I want to mention the other book that you've written. You've talked about emotions, and you say emotions are not enemies. They are not commands. They are signals. And the other book is What Are My Emotions Asking of Me? A fascinating book, a fascinating concept. Just briefly, what is that about, and how do we deal with emotions? Because we deal with them every day, and they're pretty much all over the place in terms of emotions and what we think the signals are. How do you deal with them?
Well, in the past, when an emotion came, I would just react. Yeah, a knee-jerk reaction. Now, when they come, I've realized that emotions are amazing indicators, but they are terrible masters and even worse rulers. And so to begin with, it was a very slow process. I just said, wait there, what are you asking of me? And I would pray, Lord, what's this emotion asking of me? And so when I understood that and I could respond, then, you know, I began to value that emotion because of what it was asking me. Sometimes what it was asking me was not the right thing. And so I had to reject it, close the door to it, and then seek the Lord for other emotions or other thoughts and feelings.
Our guest on the program has been Christopher Beaton. That's Beatton. His website is christopherbeatonbooks.co.uk. Coming to us on the program from the United Kingdom. His book available at Amazon or wherever books are sold. Christopher, you've done an excellent job with this book. Children ask you to do it. You've done it, and you've touched in a positive way lives of so many people. The emotion books, What Are My Emotions Asking of Me, another book that's been very helpful to all of the people who have read the book. Reviews are excellent on that book. What are you working on now? Is there another book that you're working on?
Yes, I am working on the next book is Discovering Yahweh's Divine Nature. That actually is an amazing revelation that the Lord has given me, that the Ten Commandments are not just Ten Commandments. Before he appeared at Mount Sinai, before Moses was called, before Adam and Eve even existed, these Ten Commandments existed in him as part of who he is, as part of his divine nature. And in Peter, we are given the encouragement that through these great and precious promises, we may be made partakers of his divine nature. And that's more and more what I'm pursuing in my relationship with the Lord. Yeah, and how to become a partaker of that divine nature. Because the more and more we are partakers of his divine nature, less and less do the magnetic pleasures of this world find anything in us. And I could go on. You're touching buttons now.
Well, yes, and I will wait for the book. When do you think that'll be out?
Well, I'm in the process now of putting it together. And as soon as I can, you know, get the money together, I'm hoping within this year it will be out. Huh? And it will be on my website as well.
I was going to say, you can follow Christopher with the books that he has out, the two, the one we talked about today in particular, Adversity, Adventure, and Achievement. The new book will be out. You can follow that on his website as well. The book is website is christopherbeatonbooks.co.uk, and Beaton is Beaton. Christopher, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. What a fascinating story. And again, touching people in a positive way by sharing your stories. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor speaking with you, sir. Thank you.
A pleasure to have you with us. And I'd like to thank Christian Works Media. They encourage their people, their authors, to dream big and succeed, dedicated to helping authors to promote their creations, their creativity, and their services. Their website is christianworksmedia.com. And all of our programs you'll find on 28 podcasting platforms, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, Audible, Google, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many more. While you're there, like and subscribe for more inspiring conversations.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.